if you're driving, ladies, you don't put your makeup on while you're driving. It's an unwritten rule. You're supposed to follow it, okay? The other day, Ariel and I were driving. I was coming into work here at Austin Avenue in the office, and we saw a lady putting on eyeliner as we were going in. And then later on that day, we were on our way back, and you girls are laughing like I've done that. On our way back, we passed, I think it was a student at Bangs High School, another young lady, who was sending a text message on her phone. And the reason I know she was doing that is because she got very close to hitting me head on before she swerved back over, and I saw she was hitting the text message. Don't do that, okay? And guys, here's one that you got to remember. This is one of those unwritten rules that you don't want to mess up on, okay? If your wife comes up to you and says, "Does this make me look fat, this outfit?" What's the answer? No. It's one of those unwritten rules. You know, there's another unwritten rule that I wanted to talk a little bit about. It has to do with Christmas time, okay? Now, we got a lot of parents in here. We got a lot of grandparents in here. We got a lot of aunts and uncles in here. If you're buying a Christmas present for a four-year-old little boy, what do you not buy? Clothes. You don't buy clothes for a four-year-old at Christmas time. But you know, when I was 4 years old, back in 1984, my Aunt Sandy came to our Christmas celebration, and we have a big shindig every year over at my parents' house. All my brothers and sisters, sometimes aunts, uncles, cousins, they come. And as a four-year-old, I would always go and you know, like shake the presents under the tree to make sure that nobody had gotten me clothes. And I remember going to Aunt Sandy's present before opening them later on that day, and I was shaking all the presents. They all sounded good. Then I got to Aunt Sandy's and I shook it. It sounded kind of like might be clothes, and I squeezed it a little bit. This feels like it might be clothes. And you know what? It was clothes. But you know what? It was my favorite Christmas present that year as a four-year-old little boy. And you want to know what she got me? You want to see it? Superman underwear. My Aunt Sandy got me Superman underwear. And that was my favorite present that whole year. It was better than all the toys. And guys, I didn't just wear these. I would enthusiastically, like, equip these. And when my mom would take me to the grocery store, I was known to go and pull on somebody's coattails, a stranger, just to let them know that I had my Superman underwear on. Right? Probably embarrassed my mom. So what is it about these underwear that made me, as a four-year-old, like them so much? I mean, look at them. They're just fabric. And by the way, this isn't the same pair. I bought these at Walmart. Well, I thought about this for a good while. What is a big deal with these? Now, I think it's what these symbolized in my four-year-old brain that caused me to love these underwear so much. I mean, they were my prize. And when I put them on and I would go outside and play, if I had my Superman underwear on, I would jump a little higher. I'd run a little bit faster. I'd punch those imaginary bad guys just a little bit harder because of these. Now, today I like Superman. As a four-year-old, I loved Superman, just like I loved Batman, and just like I loved Hulk Hogan. And you'd have had a fight on your hands if you told me pro wrestling was fake. And did you know that I'm not the only one who likes superheroes? Have you noticed how many movies have come out in the past few years that have to do with superheroes? Do you want to know why superhero movies continue to come out? Because people are flocking to them. People are coming out in droves. Now, the superhero movie craze started in 1978 with Superman 1. And there were other movies before that. Never were they as successful as Superman was up to that time. But just in the past few years, when X-Men came out in 2000, and then Spider-Man a couple of years later, we have seen an explosion in this genre of movie. Do you know how much money superhero movies have made in the past few years? Just at the box office, just in the movies. Anybody want to take a guess? $10 billion. $10 billion just in the past few years. Now, we throw around that number. Do you have any idea how much $10 billion is? Does anybody have any idea? Teens, when I was your age, I was 16, 17, 18, I was making 10 bucks an hour, right? Now, that was pretty good, I thought, for a 16, 17, 18-year-old. Do you have any idea how long it would take to make just $1 billion if you were working 40 hours a week, making 10 bucks an hour? 50,000 years. Okay? Let me help you get a little better picture of this. Does anybody have a $20 bill? Anybody? I'll give it back, I promise. Okay, this gentleman right back here. I want to help you wrap your mind around how much this is, okay? I'll bring it right back, I promise. $20 bill, okay? Do you know how much $10 billion worth of $20 bills is? If I stacked $10 billion worth of $20 bills right here like this, do you know how high the Empire State Building is? Over 1,000 feet tall? Well, guess what? If I stacked $10 billion worth of 20s, it would be higher than the Empire State Building. In fact, it would be as high as 133 Empire State Buildings stacked on top of one another. 33 miles high, $20 bills. Now, if I laid $10 billion worth of $20 bills end to end, do you know how long it would be? It would go all the way around the world. Two times. That's how much $10 billion is in 20s. It's a lot of money, right? Thank you. I told you I'd give it back. I did. Now, why would I go out of my way to share with you how much $10 billion is? What's the point? Well, you need to understand that there is something humongous driving people's need to consume stories about superheroes. There's a big something behind what makes these such a big deal, okay? Now, I'm going to do something that's never been done here before. And I'm going to exegete this pair of underwear this morning. So give me just a second, and I promise it'll make sense. Now, when Joe Shuster and Jerry Siegel created the Superman character back in 1932, I don't think they had any idea what a cultural firestorm they were going to kick up. Now, you guys know the basic plot. Superman's real name is Kal-El. His father is Jor-El. Jor-El finds out the planet Krypton's going to explode, so he sends his son to the planet Earth. And this new couple, these new parents, Superman's new parents, find him on Earth. Jonathan Joseph Kent and Mary Clark, whose name was later changed to Martha, give their new son the name Clark. Mary Kent. They give their son the new name Clark. And they soon realize that he's not like other children. Oh, and by the way, El, Jor-El, and Kal-El, El is the Hebrew word for God. So with the beginning of the Superman story, you have Father God sending Son God into Earth. Does that sound familiar? And then when Superman, as Clark Kent, grows old enough to leave home, he goes to, remember Superman 1? The Fortress of Solitude in the Arctic. He spends time communing with his father's spirit, and then he leaves at the age of 30 to carry out his mission in the world. Sound familiar? Kind of like maybe Jesus in the desert. Same age, 30 years old, going out to carry out his mission in the world. And to keep his family and loved ones from harm, Clark Kent adopts this alter ego of Superman. And it's with this identity, but he becomes the hero of the world. And that's actually what it says right here on the back of these underwear, world hero. So how did this character influence culture? Well, as I mentioned, he started out in the comic books back in the 30s. And since then, the character of Superman has been featured on multiple radio programs, spawned multiple television shows, been featured in many full-length feature films, was the inspiration for a Broadway musical, has been featured in multiple video games, and still boasts some of the highest sales in comic book history. In fact, in the early 90s, the comic book entitled Death of Superman came out and sold over 6 million copies, more than any other comic book in the history of comic books. And just a few issues later, Superman was resurrected. And that the prequel to that one was Lois Lane finding his tomb empty. Does it sound familiar? Superman is really special in that his character has been along a lot longer than many of his contemporaries. He's been around about 75 years now. And he's still one of the most popular ones. People have been in love with Superman for 75 years, all over the world. Now, do you know anybody who doesn't know in this country, anybody who doesn't know who Superman is? Maybe a few, but not many. Do you know anybody that hates Superman? Raise your hand. Anybody know anybody that hates Superman? We got one. What is there, 400 or 500 people here? One. I saw another one over there. We've got rebels in the audience. Not many, okay? Do you know anybody that loves Superman? Raise your hand. Quite a few of you. Quite a few of you. Jerry Seinfeld loves Superman. He appears in about 2/3 of the episodes of Seinfeld, either as a verbal reference or some sort of memorabilia. 124 out of 180 episodes of Seinfeld, the most highly rated and popular sitcom in the history of television. Shaquille O'Neal loves Superman, one of the most famous basketball players in the world. Has a big Superman emblem tattooed on his arm. Superman's been the inspiration for lots and lots of musical artists like The Kinks, Barbra Streisand, Eminem, Stereophonics, Our Lady Peace, Spin Doctors, Crash Test Dummies, Five for Fighting, The Flaming Lips, Three Doors Down, 50 Cent, Frank Black, Bush, Laurie Anderson, Laszlo Bain, Robin Hitchcock, The Click, and Donovan and Dave Matthews have all either written songs about Superman or were inspired to write a song by Superman. Very few characters, fictional or non, can claim that they've held on to the top rungs of popular culture in America like Superman has for the past 75 years. So what's the big deal with Superman? What's the big deal with superheroes? Why do people continue to spend money on him? Why do movies continue to be produced? Why do television shows continue to be made? Why are comic book sales going through the roof? Why do many children consider their superhero toys their favorites? Why are many of your children going to dress up on Halloween like Superman or Spider-Man? Like this little kid. Cute guy, huh? Why do people continue to flock to superheroes? What is it about them that makes them different? What is it about them that makes people want to not only spend time with them, but be them? What can we learn about people from superheroes? Well, I've made a couple of observations about Superman. Now, first, although he's gifted with seemingly near limitless power, He's selfless. He puts the needs of others above his own. He understands that famous quote from Spider-Man that with great power comes great responsibility. And he lives according to it. And he, like other superheroes, understands that he can help people in a unique way, like no one else can. And he structures his entire life around that, around others. And Superman genuinely loves people. He loves humanity, and he loves life. And he has this code that he fights by, where he won't take the life of another just because he thinks it's wrong. And he's a man of integrity and morals. And Superman is always there to save the day. He's like that security blanket that you never outgrow. He's always there when you need him. He's a savior. And that's the common thread that I see between Superman and all these other superheroes. They're saviors. I really do believe that's key. I think people are innately drawn to saviors. And even if they can't explain why they like Superman so much, or why they like Wolverine so much, or why they like Spider, why they like these superheroes, I think that's it. Even if they wouldn't say it, I think it's because they're saviors. Let me ask you a question. Why would the people living in this world be drawn to a savior? Well, do you read the news? You know, the first time I put this lesson together, there was a story the day before about a young lady in Colorado who had a rope tied around her neck and then was dragged behind a car for 3 miles and killed. And when the police found her, her body was unrecognizable. And I read about Iran's prime minister and this nuclear program that they're putting together, and how just a few weeks before he had talked about wiping Israel off the map. Today I read about our country's financial crisis. I read about China's unexplained military buildup. I read about Russia and the threatening rhetoric they're using against our country and toward us. I read about murders, I read about kidnappings, I read about rape, and is it any wonder that this world longs for a savior? Is it any wonder that Superman and superheroes like him are beloved by the whole world, and people continually flock to them? Let me ask you another question. Considering all that, what good are superheroes really? What good is Superman really? Is he really going to come to my rescue when I need him? Is he really going to save me? Can I really count on him? Well, I hate to say it, but no. Superman isn't real. None of these superheroes are. He's a fictional character. And in thinking about this, I'm convinced that people aren't in love with the superheroes. I think people understand that they're not real, for the most part. I'm convinced that people aren't in love with them so much as they're in love with their characteristics. People aren't in love with Superman so much as they're in love with the characteristics of Superman. And they're in love with what Superman stands for truth and justice, and giving a hand to those in need, and in putting others ahead of himself, and in taking action when a need arises, not passing the buck on to somebody else. These characteristics of superheroes are timelessly attractive to people. And that's something that we need to understand. By timelessly, I mean they're never going to go out of date. As long as there are people in the world, these characteristics that these stories about these superheroes display are going to be attractive to people. As long as humanity is in existence, they're timeless. They'll be popular even if the characters aren't wearing spandex, I can assure you. Now, what's very interesting to me in thinking about all this is that what's driving people to give away enough $20 bills to wrap around the world 2 times is exactly the thing that drives people to the person and character of Jesus Christ when they finally make the connection. The timelessly attractive characteristics of a Savior. And would it surprise you to learn that all these timelessly attractive characteristics of a Savior are found in the person of Jesus Christ, minus any character flaw? They're there. There's just one big, huge, massive, giant difference that we need to help people understand. You want to know what it is? Superheroes are not real, and somebody said it. Jesus Christ is. Can I get an amen? Jesus Christ is real. And the entire reason we're here this morning, our whole purpose for meeting together as God's people, our whole purpose for living the types of lives we live hinges on the reality and actual existence of the person, that perfect hero of Jesus Christ. And the man who never told a lie, this man who put the wants and needs of others ahead of his own, this man who was made fun of, who was spit on, whose family was ashamed of him, whose friends turned their back on him, who knew the pain associated with rejection, who knows what it's like to be treated like a criminal, who knows the emotional turmoil of hearing of a loved one's death, who understands the price that true love comes with, and who understands what it is to live in a messed up world, and as a result understand how badly this world needs a Savior, that man is real, and we worship him here this morning. Jesus Christ. This man is like no other man. The Bible describes him in many ways. It calls him Emmanuel, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, that prince on a white horse who rides in with his sword drawn, with darkness receding around him. The only human being to ever walk the earth who's qualified to tell the rest of us what's really going on. The giver of life, the soother of souls and the redeemer of mankind, that's Jesus Christ. We live in a reality that's governed by space and time. Let me get a little deeper with you here. Stay with me. You can't understand the first, second, or third dimension from within the first, second, or third dimension. In other words, you can't understand planet Earth if all you know is planet Earth. You're like an ant crawling across the face of the Mona Lisa. You ask that ant what's going on, it can't tell you the definition of the lines. It can't contemplate the hues. It can't really see what's going on. It's just there, and its reality makes no sense to it. That ant needs someone from the outside, someone greater than itself, to enter its reality and tell it what's going on. That's what Jesus did for us. You want to know how he was able to do that? Well, he's not from around here. The Bible says in John 8:14, words of Jesus, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from." And it wasn't from around here. "And where I'm going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going." In verse 23, he continues, "You are from below, but I am from above. You are of this world." Look, he says, "I am not of this world." Jesus is saying here, you are of space and time. I am not of space and time. In verse 38, he says, "I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you've heard from your Father." In other words, I know what I'm talking about because I've seen it. He says in 42, "If God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now I'm here. I have not come on my own," but look at that. "He sent me." And in 28, "I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I'm leaving the world and going back to the Father." Do you see a theme here? Jesus is saying, I'm qualified to tell you what's going on in this world because I'm not from this world. I can see this world for what it really is because I'm greater than this world. And in addition to that, in addition to just proclaiming His authority, He demonstrated His authority over this world with the seven miracles we find in John. Turning water to wine. What did He have to do that? He had to change the chemical composition of that water to add elements that weren't previously there to make that water something that it wasn't before. And He showed power over matter. He healed a nobleman's son from 18 miles away. He didn't even have to touch him. And He showed power over distance. He healed a man who had been lame for 34 years and showed power over time. He fed 5,000 people with a little boy's lunch and showed power over quantity. He walked on water and showed power over gravity. He healed a blind man and showed power over disease and misfortune. And with the raising of Lazarus and His own resurrection, He showed power over death. Jesus demonstrated authority over every major parameter of human existence. Matter, space, time, gravity, and death. And through all of this, He didn't just tell us, He demonstrated, I am not of this world. Now, if Jesus is the only person to step into space and time from the outside, He's the only person who has graced the human stage from outside the human stage. He's the only person who has the authority to tell you and I how to think and how to go about doing things. He and He alone can see the big picture. Now, in addition to being the only human qualified to really give us answers, He's also the only one qualified to be our Savior. You see, you and I have offended God. Every time we sin, we spit in the face of God. Every single one of us have done it. The Bible says that all have sinned, but not Jesus. He's the only one who can take our penalty. And He willingly did that instead of taking the free pass that He deserved for being perfect. He's the only one that can pay for our sins because He never sinned Himself. So when you think Savior, when you think hero, and you're thinking in terms of reality, you ought to think Jesus. Because no one else who's ever walked the earth even comes close to qualifying. This man was real, he is real, and Jesus is the answer to life's toughest questions. And He's not just a Savior, not just a Savior. He's the Savior. There's not another one. Jesus Christ and Him alone. He's the cure to our kryptonite. Let me tell you a quick story. Someone shared this with me when I was just on the brink of making the decision to follow Jesus. This really kind of helped put it over the top for me. He told me a story about this shepherd who was tending his flock, and a shepherd noticed a little orphaned lamb. And the shepherd took pity on the orphaned lamb. And he took that little lamb to a mother sheep, and he tried to get the mother sheep to let the orphan nurse. The mother sheep didn't smell the scent of her own offspring on that orphan, and she wouldn't have anything to do with it. And the shepherd knew that if that orphan didn't get milk, it was going to die. And he took compassion on it, and he had pity on it. And so that shepherd took the mother sheep's own little lamb, her own offspring, and he slaughtered it, and he skinned it out, and he took the skin of her own offspring and draped it over the orphan. He took the orphan back to the mother sheep, and she, smelling the scent of her own offspring, allowed it to nurse and allowed it to be saved. Now, when I was a little kid, I was excited about being clothed with these. But today, I'm excited about being clothed with Christ. The Bible says in Galatians 3, starting in verse 26, "You are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. Therefore, there is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to his promise." That promise is to enter the gates of heaven come judgment day. We're all going to be judged one of these days. And if we are not clothed with Christ, when we stand before God on that day, all He's going to see is our sin. And sin is condemned. But if you clothe yourself with Jesus, if you live your life and follow Him, when we stand before God on judgment day, God will look at us and He won't see us. You know what He'll see? He'll see His Son. And just like that mother sheep smelled the sin of her own offspring on that orphan, God will smell the sweet fragrance of His Son wrapped around us. And He will throw His arms open wide. And He'll invite us into the gate. And we will live like you can't even dream for eternity. That's the gospel. Now, I don't know where you are this morning. I know a lot of you here are Christians. But if you're not, stop wasting time. We live in a world full of people that are just obsessed with superheroes. Church, let's help them make the connection. Can I count on you to help them make the connection in this community and around the world? Let's not be stingy with our Savior. Let's tell the world who the real superhero is. If you'd like to respond this morning, we're going to sing a song. If you'd like to come to the front, you can put on Christ this morning. Kind of makes these seem insignificant. If you'd like to study and learn more, be happy to do that as well. So why don't you come as we stand and sing.